The following audio is from the King's Chapel. You can find out more about our church at thekingschapel.org.
May I tell you, I spoke to a crowd filled with Marines the other day at my sister-in-law's funeral, and these boys were a Marine recon. If you know that type of guy, it's scary even to look at them, and I didn't know what I was going to say, and I didn't know where they were coming from spiritually. But when I admitted my weakness to them, you just saw them take the shield down. Their face softened up and something went on. So the Lord Jesus was gracious, and he'll be gracious with us this morning. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but this cleaning of the house here is vital. It's important to the individual house that is us and the corporate house that is our family. And the main thought of this teaching this morning will be the one that Paul had in his mind. It seems rather brutal, but some things have to be dealt a death blow. The main thought today, the thing we should leave with, is put to death that which is earthly in you. Put to death that which is earthly in you. You'll remember last week I said this about another person, but it might be said of me. God might just say to Bill Jeske, Bill, you and I are incompatible, and I do not change. You and I are incompatible, but I do not change. Thank God he doesn't, because he will always be resplendent with a glory that we can't even see into. We would be blinded. We would be destroyed by being in the presence of such holiness and separateness and beauty. And yet, he sent his son, a sensitive high priest, to come and be with us and provide a sacrifice for all our sins. So as we're putting to death that which is earthly in you, we must understand that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is a tenderness to the Lord Jesus and a kindness and compassion. Having said that, we must yet clean the house that is ours. If we really want to do something in our homes and in our culture, we have to be gentle, loving, Christ-like in our ways, so the world can see that God has indeed sent his son, because there is something real and unmistakable going on inside these people named Christians. There was a young skinny man that was in the western part of Pennsylvania that was a gospel preacher, and somehow, I won't tell his whole story, you've heard it, read The Cross and the Switchblade, see the movie, but David Skinny Man, Tiny Man Wilkerson, goes into Brooklyn, New York, and goes to drug-addicted kids who have just murdered some people, and goes into a courtroom, and I think his picture was taken, and kind of went national, and something happened, but the whole heart of the man was to see change in the lives of people who were dying, to see change in the life of people who were dying. He wanted to throw them a life preserver, because drugs, sex, alcohol, and crazy violence was taking them down. There was a cross, yes, for them, but also a switchblade. And on the cross, our sins die. With a switchblade, the people made in the very image of God died. And we don't want that. And we don't want our families to be stained by our own sin as leaders, as a dad, as a mom. So we must clean the house. One time I was cleaning a house. It was a small house in a very, let's say, fashionable or well-known place in the United States. And we went in and someone had just died there. And probably they died of tobacco inhalation. And you went in the house and you thought it would be pretty nice. This was an elderly person. Normally it would be pretty squared away. But you saw on the walls the accumulation of years and years of remnants of tobacco, kind of a 15th coating of the wall, not of paint, but of tobacco stuff. And it was kind of horrible. It looked good from a distance, but as you closed in on it and could smell it, and God forbid, not taste what this was, you wanted it to be expunged. I'm sure they had to take the walls down in order to fix the house, because it had been neglected, because certain things had not been disinfected, wiped out, and in a sense mortified or killed. David Wilkerson goes in with the wondrous bleach of the blood of the Lord Jesus and tells these boys and girls that no matter what they've done, no matter who they've slept with, no matter what dark things are in their past, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And as the Apostle Paul said, and I am the foremost. What do we do to de-imprison ourselves in a house that has some failings? Probably in your house there aren't many. There probably are no secrets there, nothing you would be ashamed to tell other people. But those are the very things that bind and enslave. What we need is the wondrous liberation that comes from love. And Jesus Christ is filled with love, for God so loved people who are cleaning houses that he gave his only begotten Son to the end that all who believe in him should not perish, but should have everlasting love. The first thing we need to do is ask the Lord what it is in me, not in my children. Bill, you're kind of angry. Maybe that answer would come back. Or you're quite irritable, or you argue with your wife too much, or you look at some stuff on TV that isn't right. Whatever the thing is, ask him what it is that you're to put to death, what it is that is of danger to you. What is that? And then start small and build up. I don't mean start small. Go to whatever the big thing is, but expect the Holy Spirit of God in you who loves you and is intimately involved with you and has an antidote for whatever the addiction is to whisper something to you. And then take that nugget or those nuggets and get alone and perhaps write them down on a piece of paper. They were written on my mind to this moment. I'm still having to deal with, and I'm not going to tell you all the stuff, but basically I get irritable. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired, we tell people with our addictive and bad behavior. Hungry, angry, as Mark likes to say. Right before dinner, I would be very irritable. And, you know, I've told you this. It was worse than that. There was a drug, Sudafed, but at that time, it had an illegal thing later that was used in meth. And if you took that on an empty stomach, it amped you up. We didn't know that. We found out in the midst of this. Daddy comes home, he's exhausted, he hasn't eaten, and after a while my wife figured out that she needed to throw cheese sticks at me as I came in the door. Literally, once I started eating and it counterbalanced that, I still might be irritable, but not in the way I had been. Death had begun to come to that particular problem. May I tell you, I still work on it every day. God is not, be patient with me, God is not through yet. But I admit, I need him. Oh, I need him. And we need to outline and write down what the problem is. One young man went to a counselor, famous counselor, his name was Jay Adams, and he goes, I have this problem. I go by a theater on my way home from school, and it has very bad films in it. I'm ashamed of myself. I feel guilty. I don't know what to do. I'm trapped. Thank God he had the honesty and the courage to express that to one other person who was confidential. That's what we should normally have in our life, an accountability partner, as Brian Roberts, or we'll say a corner man. A boxer has someone in the corner to kind of heal him up and glue together the rips in the guy's face. He needs help. And so this boy had the guts to go in. God bless him. That said something. And he felt what he was doing is wrong. His conscience convicted him. And so many keep secrets in the house that never get cleaned up. And it just hurts them and tears them up. And they're afraid to tell dad or mom or somebody because it's too embarrassing and humiliating. But this boy went to the counselor. And the counselor said this: here's the solution to your problem. It was really simple. And it was like the Holy Spirit. Don't go home that way anymore. Don't go home that way anymore. In other words, his path home had to change. In a sense, it had to be killed. We have to be able to be alert to what the triggers are for bad behaviors. I'm not a psychologist, but I am a Christian, and I know something about man because I am one. And if you have a problem, and it is an obsessive problem, you have to stop doing it. And not in your own strength. You can't do it, but I promise you, he can. identify it, be fully willing to be done with it, and ask God the Holy Spirit to help you. He has a fix to fix you with. He has a fix to clean your house with. Admit you have the problem, you're a sinner, or you're an angerholic, an impureaholic, a greedaholic, whatever your sin is, admit it, confess it, and then plan to forsake it. Believe that Christ is the only Savior. You can't white knuckle it. You can't fix it by lifting weights. That's not going to do it. It is a supernatural act that has to happen for some of us. But help is definitely on the way. There is an ambulance. There are rescue workers that come in droves through the Holy Spirit and His angels. We are in a world filled with invisible wonders. And He can come to you and help you in your time of need. And then believe that you are a sinner, you're lost, but Christ is the only Savior. The ABCs we quote all the time, I'm using it. Admit you've got a problem. B, believe Christ is the only way out. You need a power greater than yourself, we say in addiction ministry, to save you. You cannot be free on your own. You were, however, bought with a price, and that price was the very life and blood of Jesus Christ. So you are precious to Him, and He is not finished with you. And then finally, choose to follow Him. And I take it for our purposes in our house. He says, clean the tobacco-stained walls. And in fact, once clean, never touch a cigarette again. Well, I can't do that. You can't. But I think, Bill, I can help you. That's what I believe the Holy Spirit would say. Choose to follow Him. What would you have me do? Write it down. Pray. Ask the Lord. If it's too radical an answer from Him, or you feel it is, in that instance, doubt your doubts. Doubt your doubts. Many years ago, you guys have heard this. And I don't just tell the good stories, and I get tired of telling my own story. I couldn't control the TV. The stuff was so trashy. And this is before the nightmare era we're living in, where everything is throwing garbage at us in some satanic attempt to twist the minds of our people and our world. In our era, it had begun. It had not come to full fruition. I didn't even have a computer. I didn't have a cell phone. None of that stuff. I couldn't afford it, first of all. But I did have a TV. But I was stumbled by it. I was too weak for it. And I didn't want to expose my children to that. And I say this to kind of be silly and funny, but what I did was I took some concrete. That day you used to turn the thing. I put it in there, shut the TV down forever so it would only play VHS stuff, the stuff we wanted the children to see. And we, if you were a wrestler, we dominated. We dominated the home. And you know what they did when they couldn't watch that? And I'm not saying this in a legalistic way. Everybody put your TV in the trash or whatever it is you're going to do. I have none of that. The detail is between you and the Lord. What I know, you'll remember, I prayed, I sought the Lord about this. I said, do you really think I should do this kind of thing? I said, your children can either have a TV or be on it. Some of you can quote that back. That's what happened. That's what happened. Many of them were on TV, sometimes numerous times. And what they did, they had time to think and play musical instruments and become some of the best at their school and in their country at what they did because they sacrificed, or we sacrificed, something that was a very much a mixed blessing. Did we have a TV? Yes, it was a screen, and we played the dreamiest, best stuff ever, all the time, 24/7. Now, that's what we did. That was my leading. Each of you are different. Some of you are as disciplined as Sir Lancelot. You know, you're King Arthur. Well, he's not a good example, but Lancelot was a rather holy man for the most part until he fell and stumbled. Even Lancelot stumbles. Take real, spirit, concrete steps. The heart of the gospel, David Wilkerson's dad used to say to him all the time, is change. It's changed. And when we come to Christ, we are baptized, which is a burial. Talk about change. It is a death to sin. We don't say repentance is part of the deal. Again, not white-knuckling repentance. The Holy Spirit of God wants to change us from the inside out. If you have anger that you cannot control, do you think the God who loves you wants you bound by that and enslaved by that the rest of your life? But, oh, I'll forgive you every week. Just pray the prayer, confess your sin, and everything's fine. It's not fine. It's not fine for me. I'm just talking about myself. I don't want to live like that. What's the movie? Alice doesn't live here anymore. I don't want to live in a dirty, unclean, tobacco-stained home called Bilgeski. I want that newness of life that comes. You must be born again. It is a radical transformation from death to life. Wilkerson goes at the Spirit's bidding, and he changes the world. I knew a woman about 300 pounds. She had friends that tell her, oh, she didn't have to make the radical change. She didn't have to put to death eating a certain things that she'd been doing. As she lost about 100 pounds, she was free to eat whatever she wanted. Is that good doctrine? Don't answer. It is not. You are not free to do everything you want. You are free to be led by the Spirit as children and sons of God. And something's got to go if you want freedom. When she began to eat the things these ladies said she was free, she put back on the poundage and was at least 300 when the day was done. First Peter. Peter should know something about this. You'll note, I know this passage very well. Beloved, I beseech you as aliens and exiles, I'm doing RSV because I memorized it. Now I'll go to ESV. As sojourners, that means travelers in a distant land. Exiles, we're at a distance from heaven. To abstain from the passions of the flesh, whatever they are, that wage war against your soul. You're in a war, and it's coming at you. God loves you. He didn't create you to be destroyed by these things that work your marriages, that work your private life, that destroy your house, that make the place filthy. No, he did not want that or desire that. He said, you must be born again. And then he puts you in a water to cleanse you. And then when you come out, the Holy Spirit of God, in some sense, if you want it, comes upon you to do good works and to make you look very suspiciously like Jesus Christ. Keep your conduct, every church he went to. This, the idea of any kind of purity, especially sexual purity in this era, was unheard of. As you know, worship was to be with prostitutes in the temple. That was worship. Running around on your wife, what was that? Who cared? The body was not important. It's not important. My spirit is what's important. My spirit is clean. My spirit is good. But this thing, it's going to die. It just decays. It goes. So I do whatever I want with it. Now, that if that is not so congested with demonic nonsense, it's astounding. And that was the world that Paul sent the gospel into, Jesus sent the gospel into. And everywhere he goes, he is battling against people in utter bondage. And people are looking at them and saying, does this Christianity work? Is there any salvation from what God puts him? Calvin said, I think he's right. There is light in every human being, some light. Some they're not. That doesn't mean they're saved. They know through the prevenient grace of God a little bit about right and wrong. They're bothered by things. That if they were philosophically straight, the body really didn't matter. Why does it bother me? Then I do this. Why is my wife weeping when I'm out and about? Why is my anger against her tormenting her if everything is good and cool and it's fine, sir? Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable and abstain from the passions of the flesh that wage war against your soul so that when they speak against you as evildoers, the rumors in the town where these people were cannibals because they ate body and blood, that's a fact, that's a historical fact. They had love feasts, we know what that is, it's what we're going to do this morning. But to the carnal mind, that was some kind of strange, vague, strangely immoral stuff. We do it, but we don't pretend. I'm talking about they're talking now. We do it, but those Christians say they don't, and there's the love feast that indicates they're orgiastic in their behavior. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles, King's Chapel, honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. If then you have been raised with Christ, it says in Colossians, where they had massive immoral problems, and also a syncretism, a combination of believing in the old gods who were phonier as a $3 bill. They themselves were involved in assignations or adulterous behavior with the people, made very clever stories, great writers wrote about it. Oh, isn't it funny? No reality to it, and the people knew that. Somewhere in their hearts, they knew that. But this Christian God thing, this demands change and a turning inside out of my very soul. I've seen a Christian. I know you cannot take these people lightly. This is real. There's something real. There's something constant about them. That guy stays with his wife. He never leaves. He doesn't walk away. What kind of fool would do that? And then in the dark of the night, he's wondering. It's a kind of, he seems like a happy fool, a contented fool. Colossae was like that. It was a mess. Colossae. If then you have been raised with Christ, Paul has to say to them, he's never been to the town. Epaphras, his friend, works that town for the Lord Jesus. And he writes them this letter because he hears what's going on. If you've been raised with Christ, Colossians, seek the things that are above. Where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Seek the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Lord Jesus invading your very personality and changing you from one glory to the next. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. We don't want to be so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. But when we are heavenly minded truly, we are super earthly good. This world needs the believer. I'll jump and cut to the end here quickly. Change is at the center of the gospel. And what the world needs now, as the song says, is love, sweet love. And the only place unselfish love comes from is from heaven. It's from setting our mind on things that are above, because we have died and our life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then we also will appear with him in glory. In one place, it says this, or Paul said this, I live, yet not I. It's not quite me anymore. It's Christ who lives in me, and the life I live in the flesh, in unaided human nature. That's what flesh is. I live by faith in the Son of God. To fight that, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, principle one, and gave himself for me. Because of that, I do not nullify the grace of God. I exalt the grace of God. But through the grace of God, I put to death that which is earthly in me, fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, which is covetousness. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. But now put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, foul talk from your mouth. Seeing that you have put off the old nature and have put on the new nature, which is being renewed by the Spirit of holiness. And at the end of the day, the portrait that is you will very likely, in your home and in your community, very much resemble a portrait of grace, because it looks just like Jesus. Let's bow our heads to pray. Lord, help us to put death that which is earthly in us. In some areas we are not compatible, but we thank you that you do not change, and it is your stated purpose that you are going to make of us new creations, holy and acceptable to you through the grace of God and through the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Come upon us in such a way to show us that thing that we need to get rid of, or things, and give us a plan and a pathway to do that, Lord. We ask this now. And if anyone doesn't know the Lord Jesus, it's this simple. Call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. If you want Jesus Christ, he's here right now. Just say, have mercy on me, a sinner, Lord. Pardon and forgive me. He'll hear your prayer, come into you, and make you the kind of person you always wanted to be.
Amen.